Woo, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Man, cute looking kids, right? Man, cute kids. Hallelujah. Good, good, good. And you're all the big kids, you all looking cute. Tell your neighbor you look cute. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We've been doing a series about words, and God decided to create everything with words. All right? So he created the universe with words. And our salvation comes with some very specific words. And we actually grow with some specific words. And we learn that our words can impact other people, and our words can impact us. And last week we talked about words. These words can actually become a weapon for our life, for victory in our life. So I just, Louise, I want you to have such a passion for the Lord and his word and what it can do in your life. And, you know, and when we become mature, it's not so much what he does in our life, but what he can do through your life. So I'm just praying a passion upon you guys for the word of God. Amen. So today we're going to do words of gratitude and thanksgiving. So if you have your yellow card, write words of gratitude and thanksgiving. Now, if you've been in church as long as I have, you have probably heard 100 million sermons on thanksgiving, right? On thanksgiving and gratitude, all right? Maybe you're one of those families that Thanksgiving Day, we sit around the table or else we've done our prayer and everybody has to go around and say what? What you're thankful for, okay? So you know, sometimes your brain is like that and sometimes you can think, well, I'll just save all my Thanksgiving until next Thanksgiving, and next thing you know, it's this year, 2023, and you're sitting around the table and everybody's going around the room just dishing out one thing that they're thankful for, all right? That's not where we're going with it, but, you know, as I was praying about this message, I was praying, Father, open my eyes, change the way I see, so that it would become so deep inside of me about having a thankful heart, being full of gratitude, and I pray it for everybody here today, too, in Jesus' name. So I tag you in on all my prayers, so get ready, ready. So it's really interesting, as I was studying about Thanksgiving and gratitude, I found out it's not designated for one day. Thanksgiving, it's not. You know, I found out that it's a thing for every day of our life, right? And I really started digging into this and thinking about my life and applying it in my life. And I know that when we have this eyes open to being thankful and to being full of gratitude, it will cause your relationship with the Lord to just go to a 10. And over that, you will just flourish, okay? So I really believe thanksgiving and gratitude is a big deal to God. So get ready. It's going to be a big deal to you today. Amen. All right. So open up. Matter of fact, listen to this. I love Google. Hey, Google, how many of this? But there's over 400 scriptures in your Bible about thanksgiving and gratitude. That's a lot, so it must be kind of big to God, right? And you probably all know this, Psalms 100, right? Psalms 100, verse 4, and I'm reading this out of the New Living. Enter his gates with, and then go into his courts with, right? Give thanks to him and praise his name. So in other words, gratitude, thanksgiving is a excuse me, I was choking on my spit here this morning. Thanksgiving and gratitude, God is saying, hey, this is a big deal to me, right? This is a big deal to me, and I want you to say thank you first before I hear anything else out of your mouth. Before I hear about your needs, before I hear about your problems, before you even pray for somebody else, how about you come in and first you're going, God, thank you. God, I just give you just my heart of thanks. And by the way, worship team, that was like 3/4 of our songs today. It just was weaved in that, all right? So God really, based on Psalm 100, wants us first to come in with thanksgiving and praise and gratitude. And it's interesting, as I was thinking about raising four kids, praise God over that. But, you know, one of the first things we teach our kids is what? To say thank you, all right? To say thank you. And some of you teach your kids how to do it in sign language, which was, I don't know what that is. But, you know, so we're teaching our kids, what was it, Ms. Denise? Thank you. You know, we usually go more. What's the one for more? Yeah, I'm like, well, let's do thank you. So we teach our kids to say thank you, but it's so interesting. So often we forget to say thank you. We forget to say thank you. All right. Now, my grandmother was a stickler, aka nag, a stickler for making you write thank you notes. All right. And emojis wouldn't cut it with her. Okay, let me tell you, right? And yet, you know, I am so embarrassed. I'm going to look at the floor because I don't want to look at any of you, of all the thank you notes that I should be writing. Okay, but it is on my New Year's resolution. And it's all in the sea of forgetfulness, y'all, if I owe you one of those, okay? And it shouldn't be an I owe, but I desire, all right? So that's my public apology, right? Okay, but it's interesting. The first thing that we teach our children is to say thank you, and it's sometimes the first thing we forget to do. So, this reminds me of a story. Open up your Bibles. Everybody show me your Bible or your phone that you're going to look at. Please do not. Yeah. If you need a Bible, we've got some in the back. Raise your hand. We'll give you a Bible. Anybody need a Bible? Best thing to bring to church besides coffee. All right. Yep. Okay. So, you're all over. You got your Bibles. Open up to Luke chapter 17. The story of Jesus and the 10 lepers. Okay. Luke chapter 17. Here we go, verse 11. And it happened that as he, Jesus and his disciples, made his way towards Jerusalem, he crossed over the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, 10, all lepers, met him, and they kept their distance, but raised their voice, calling out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So, if you're familiar with your Bible, and if you grew up downstairs in children's ministry, y'all know a little bit about leopards, okay? But it's really interesting. We tag leprosy as a label. But back then, if you had like a skin condition, okay, that was untreatable, guess what label you got? Leprosy, okay? So that was going on. That's how you could wear the label. And if you were to go back and you read the Levitical law in Leviticus, how brilliant, Pastor, do you know that? All right. It was all about laws. And if you had the label of leprosy, you were told, hey, you have to stand on the outskirts of town or the street or all the way over there in the foyer, okay? That's what they were told they had to say and they had to do. So they lived in these communities, all right? And it's so they wouldn't contaminate anybody, all righty? So if you happen to actually have a real case of leprosy, not just the skin disorder, okay, it was a big deal in that culture. There was a real stain, a stigmatism, if you actually had leprosy, okay? And it was such a sad condition because it's not like today where they shoot you up with antibiotics and stuff and it's actually curable. But if it was untreated back in the day, it would start affecting appendages, what, the fingers and stuff like that, and maybe your fingers would fall off, okay, and maybe, you know, it affects your face, and I don't want to gross you out, but a nose and an ear that would fall out, okay, and then maybe it's affecting your toes, right, and they fall off, and now you're kind of having a difficult time walking, right? So those are all the things that go with leprosy. So you could look differently, you could walk differently. And then I learned this, don't you? Okay, trivia, ready? One of the final stages of leprosy is it attacks your vocal cords. It attacks your voice, your vocal cords. So just picture these 10 guys, right? And they're kind of over there, they're out in the foyer, and they see Jesus and they start yelling, but it has attacked their voice. But they're still yelling, Jesus, have mercy. But they sound it different than you do because it's attacking this, right? So they look differently, right? They may have walked differently and they sound it differently. So that's the background of leprosy in this story. So let's go read verse 14 again. Here we go. Let's see. verse 14. Taking a good look at them, this is Jesus, with compassion, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. So I like that. Taking a good look at them that look differently, walk differently, sound differently, taking a good look at them, he's talking to them. And you know, sometimes maybe you're online, hello people online, and you're like, I can never set foot in church. Oh my gosh, you don't know me, all right? Or maybe you're here and you're like, Pastor D, if you knew what I did or where I've come from, okay? Guys, these are the people that, you know, sometimes we tend to think of on the outskirts. We don't associate them, but these are the people that Jesus died for. Matter of fact, these are the people that Jesus is now going to talk to. All right, so he loves you and came to save you, all right? So let's see. Let's go up to verse 17. Here we go, verse 17. Jesus said, we're not, let me finish this. One of them, I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. I'm trying to read my Bible scriptures. Okay, taking a good look at them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. They went, and while they were on their way, what happened? Became clean, right? One of them, when he realized that he had been healed, turned around and came back shouting his gratitude, glorifying God. Shouting his gratitude, glorifying God, right? And then he kneeled at Jesus' feet, so grateful that he couldn't thank him enough, and he was a Samaritan. All right. So you have all of these guys, 10. Okay, Jesus says, hey, go show yourself to the priest. So they're booking it, all right? And one of them turns around, comes back to Jesus, giving thanks and gratitude. One, all right? And the last part, it says he was the Samaritan. And by the way, that's there for a reason. Because a Samaritan, this guy who was a Samaritan, the only one that turned around and came back, the Samaritan, he had two strikes going against him. One, he had leprosy, and two, he was a Samaritan. And in the Jewish, in Israel, in the Jews, in their culture, you are the lowest, the scummest on the bottom of the rung, okay, in their culture. And they would not have anything to do with you. So the one that came back with gratitude, thanksgiving, is the one who's the outcast. I mean, really, all right? Praise God. Let's go up to verse 17. Jesus said, were there not 10? Where are the 9? Okay. Can none be found to come and back and give glory to God except the outsider? Okay. Then he said to them, get up on your way. Your faith has healed you and saved you. So I love this story. And I think to myself, are you kidding me? People don't thank God, especially someone who got healed with Jesus with leprosy. Are you kidding me? They didn't come back. And you know, the Lord, as I was reading that and thinking that very out loud, the Lord says, before we get judgy, what about you, Dee? I was like, what? You know, this is what Michael said, you know, does God ever talk to you loud and get your attention? So he was talking to me and he says, well, what about you? And he said, every one of us had a condition in our flesh that kept you away from Jesus. Every one of us had brokenness and horrible things in our life that kept away from us, Jesus away from us, okay? Every one of us. And yet, sometimes we forget where we are today to give him thanks for where we are, okay? So let's not be judgy, all righty? Now, I want to give you a real practical example of this, all righty? I was thinking about this, and probably Pastor Sherry will laugh because... So when I'm merging onto a big highway, when I'm trying to merge onto this big 695 highway, okay, and I start stressing out. What did you call me one time? A stressful driver. I am not. And I'm like, okay. We were going up to Connecticut, yeah. And anyway, so I'm trying to merge onto this big highway, got my blinker on, and I'm stressing out, so I'm praying, God, you know, I'm praying all my prayers. But really, it comes down to that some total stranger will let me in front of them. Right? It's really about a total stranger, okay? So the kindness of this total stranger is going to let me in front of them, okay? And I am one of these that goes, thank you, and I'm waving and, you know, stuff like that. And I'm sincerely thankful. But it's really interesting how quick we forget the lane that I was in and the lane that I'm now in, because 30 seconds later, somebody is trying to get in front of me, and I'm like, hey, buddy, what's your problem? You laugh because you've done it. You go get the person behind you can let me in. You in, right? Okay? How about what's really going on is we tend, now that's not my driving, but in life, we tend to forget the lane that we were in, that God brought us out, and what he's done in our life. And we can be judgy at people and maybe our spouse. Okay. All right. So just something. So how about we shift and get into the lane of thankfulness and gratitude, right? Amen. Praise God. Good preaching. Okay, you know I have a main idea. If you have your yellow cards, you should write this down. Ready? Ready? Okay. And it's really the thing, I hope that you will get such an eye-opener understanding that it will change you. Okay, ready? Here it goes. Ready? Thank you causes change. The words, thank you, gratitude causes change. Thank you. There's actually power in gratitude. There's power in thankfulness. There is, right? Now, in case you're thinking, Pastor D, what does gratitude do and thankfulness? I copied this from Pastor Rick Warren. It was a book I had read years ago. I pulled it off the shelf, and I was like, I'm not even going to try to do this. You got it. So here we go. Blessings and benefit of gratitude. Ready? Number one, he writes, improves your brain and physical condition. I could use some of that. Thankfulness, gratitude, that's what it'll do, okay? Thankfulness, gratitude improves happiness. So if you want to be happy, start being grateful. Amen, thankful, all right? This one, improves sleep patterns. Anybody need better sleep? Woo, okay? So how about you go to bed just being grateful and having a gratitude about something? It'll improve your sleep. Here's another one. Oh, this is a goodie. It's the antidote for toxic emotions. Gratitude, thankfulness is the antidote for those worry, depression, okay? Guys, you know, it's really hard to be having gratitude and grumpy. The two of them together, all right? It doesn't work. So when I'm thankful, it's really easy to be joyful and peaceful and a nice person to hang out with, all right? And when I'm thankful, it's really hard to be and complaining and resentful and, you know, just that delight, right? So why? Because thankfulness changes things, all right? Now, here's another one. It improves relationships. Not saying anything gets you all in trouble, okay? So you want better relationships? How about being thankful? Thankful for them. Thankful, grateful, right? All right? All right. It opens doors to people and other opportunities. Okay, and my favorite here is the evidence. Okay, being a heart of gratitude, being thankful, my attitude of thankfulness. Listen to this. It's the evidence of spiritual maturity. I just got loving this. Okay. All right. Turn to Colossians 2. Colossians 2. I just tickled myself. I'm just up here laughing. Okay. Colossians 2:7. Let your roots grow down into him, Jesus. Knowing him, loving him. Let your roots grow down in him. Let your lives be built on him. Let your faith grow strong in the truth where you were taught. And then you will overflow with thankfulness. So, if you want to know if you're spiritually mature, I've been walking with Jesus for 40 years. You want to really know if you're spiritually mature, you will have thankfulness coming out, overflowing in your life. It will. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Rick Warner. Okay. What I'd like to do next, is I want to give you four things that we need to know, so we can grow in gratitude, grow in thankfulness. Just four, okay? And I want to encourage you to jot them down. And if you can use all of resisting temptation, you can get your phone and take notes. Or, hey, ushers, grab those yellow cards. Write them on the yellow card. The ushers will give you a yellow card, and you can write them. But I'm telling you, write them down, all right? Write them on your neighbor's arm. I don't care. Just start writing. If you need one of those cards, Scott's ready for you. You should have something. You all have something you're going to write them on, right? Okay? Scott, they must all have their cards. It's amazing. All right. All righty. Now, maybe, just maybe, all four of them aren't going to be lightning bolts to you. But I guarantee, I'm a betting woman here, that one of them will speak to you. And it'll be the post-it note that you need to chew on all week, all right? So, here we go. Four things. Here's our first things, about gratitude that we need to know to grow. Ready? One, gratitude is all about perspective. Gratitude is all about perspective. In other words, thankfulness is how I think. How you think. Gratitude, it's all perspective, how you think, okay? Have you ever had a bad day? The rest of you are just so holier than thou. Jeez. All right. So, a while back, I was having a bad day, right? Okay, I was not grateful. I was kind of grumpy. Wasn't doing the grateful thing very much, okay? And one of the reasons is I was looking around at all the fires that were in my life, okay? And I'm running around, and I'm coming to God, right? And I'm complaining, not thankful, not gracious, and because I'm looking at all these fires, okay? And I'd run, I'm like, God, I put this fire out, and then there's another one that puts out, what's that game, whack-a-mole? That's what I felt like, chaka, 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 all right? And I kept coming to God with the word frustrated, complaining, all right, and pointing out all the problems in my life. And I heard God speak, not deep from heaven, but in here. Listen to this. You ought to write this down. Ready? You prayed for those problems. You prayed for those problems. Okay, let me give you some examples. I'm not going to tell you all my laundry. Usually every week I tell you all my dirty laundry. But just to do general laundry here. Ready? Parents, have you ever complained about your kid that's just crying and won't sleep through the night and you're just like, oh, I know, I'm so tired, I can't get any sleep? All right? Looking at me like you never did that. What? Okay, maybe you have to have four kids, okay? And how soon do we forget that we spent all night begging God for that kid? You prayed for that problem. Everybody say that. You prayed for that problem, okay? How about this? You get frustrated with that relationship that lives under your roof or that friend, and yet how many of you prayed? Okay? Everybody say with me, you prayed for that problem. All right. How about this? You know the one that leaves the toilet seat up, or the one that doesn't know where a laundry basket is, or the one that nags you and nags you? Everybody say with me, you prayed for that problem. So it's about perspective. It's really about perspective, okay? Proverbs 14:4. Perspective. Ready? Proverbs 14:4, where no oxen are, is that good English, old King James? Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength, or I could say the stench of the oxen. Did I just call you a bunch of oxen? I think I did. Okay. But listen, guys, it's about perspective, all right? And we could write it this way. Without that child and all those poopy diapers, okay? Okay, there'd be no things that we celebrate, the milestones, the first. It's about perspective, right? Okay, so how about we shift our perspective to thank you, gratitude, okay? And watch what God does inside of you. Watch what he does, okay? Now, every time we've had a problem in this building, the flood, the ACs, cha-chink, chink, chink, the wall, cha-chink, chink, chink. You know what the Lord said? How many prayers have you prayed for this building? I mean, we prayed to have a building. We were on some, we were renting hotel rooms and kids were jumping off beds in the Christmas Choice, gosh. Those children's ministers were amazing. We prayed for this building. So how about I change my perspective? How about this? How about every time, I'm going to look over here, somebody has a problem, okay, all right, or an issue. We prayed that God would fill this place with people that would receive Jesus and have their lives changed. We prayed for, not the problem. So, how about this? Can we change our perspective on how we look at and have thankfulness and gratitude? Amen. All right. And it's so interesting. I wrote this down. This was so good. So, you know, every once in a while, I'm like, that was good. I'm writing this down. Ready? The thing that isn't changing isn't your circumstances. It's you. How about you change instead of, amen? Okay, so gratitude is all about perspective. Number one, you all wrote that down. Here's number two. You're going to write this down. Gratitude knows more won't make you happy. Gratitude knows more, M-O-R-E, won't make you happy. In America, we love this. Ready? We just love this idea. If I could have more, if I could have more money, if I could have more likes, if I could have more vacation, whatever, if I could have more, then I'd be happy. America has this attitude, really, okay? Not you, it's somebody else, your neighbor, but okay, ready? So there's, you know, I do research and I'm digging through some books and listen to this statistic, here we go. The statistics of the Western mindset, everybody put your hand up, that's us's. All right, so you can't say Western, West, that's them. No, that's us, okay? Americans, Western mindset, ready? Whose only pursuit is more, listen to this. So interesting. There are 300,000 items in the average American home. I can't even comprehend that. So I'm sitting in my sofa and I'm counting. I was like, just leave it alone, D. All right, listen to this one. I called my Cassie on this. British researchers found out that the average 10-year-old child, anybody have a 10-year-old child, has 283 toys. But, I love what I get to do, but they only play daily with 12. So you know what you're doing today after church, just packing up all everything but 12. Yeah, okay. Now, so I'm so sorry, ladies, somebody else did this, but I was like, and men, you better not blink. Just look at me, ready? Women will spend more than 8 years of their lives shopping. Keep your eyes on me. Okay. Okay, moving on to the next one. And the average American is giving less than 3% of their income to help others. Okay. So, considering all those statistics, all right, and we have the Western mindset, listen to what it says. Statistically, the Western mindset, Americans, we lead in the highest anxiety and depression. We're off the charts here. Okay, so maybe our contentment isn't with more, right? Okay, smile at me, somebody. This is the time, okay? You know, and the more is the pursuit. You know, I had a gerbil, actually an inherited, because my sister gave it to me. It's her gerbil, and it had the wheel, and this thing would just go round and round and round and round. Well, more, you go round and round and round, more, oh, I need more and more, okay? That's the mindset. But that's not us, it's somebody else, I know that, okay? So, Jesus gave the antidote for more. John 10:11. I have come to give life and life more abundantly. More abundantly. So, maybe my contentment is not in what I have, it's in who I have. That's what Jesus is saying there. It's who. That's where my So if I have him in my life, if I've asked him to come and be my Savior and Lord, then I do have contentment. Praise God. Amen. The Apostle Paul wrote this in Philippians 4. Ready? Philippians 4, verse 11. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances, right? And then he goes on, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, circumstance, right? Whether well-fed or hungry or living in plenty and want, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, that last part, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Usually, we just grab that and slap this on. God, I need strength for this coworker. Okay? But that's taken out of context. Though it is a goodie. Okay? But it's taken out of context. In contents, that scripture has to do with contentment. And by the way, Paul is writing this in prison. Okay? Okay, so, and you know, the Bible talks about more. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So, okay, and I have to say this. God is not mad at you if you have more. Matter of fact, you're a better representative of what the full gospel and what Jesus does is when you're not poor, all right? So God is not mad when you have more, okay? But he just doesn't want more to have you. More to have you. Okay, one of my other good books that I've read is by Robert Morris. Robert Morris, he's down in Texas, right? I can't remember this church. So he wrote a book called The Blessing, okay? And he says, this is the blessed test. Okay, so I got to read this. When I receive, this is the test about the blessed, having the blessed, having the more. When I receive, can I obey God in what he's blessed me with? All right? Can I be an open flow? Can I be a stream that he can work through? That is the test if you know if more has you or you're doing good, all right? Now, so gratitude knows that more isn't going to make you happy. Okay, here's number three. Ready? Write this down. Here we go. Gratitude is greater than your circumstances. Having a thankful heart is greater than your circumstances. Being grateful is greater than your circumstances, okay? Gratitude is greater than the trial I'm going through. Gratitude is bigger than the situation I am going to deal with as I walk out of the house today. Gratitude is greater than your circumstances. Everybody close your eyes for 1 minute. Think about some not pleasant thing in your life. Okay, open your eyes again. Simon says this, Simon says this, Simon says this, Simon says this, do this. Okay. Only kidding, only kidding. Pastor Sherry's going to talk to me later about that. I can tell you. So gratitude is greater than your circumstances. That is why Jonah, who's in the middle of the belly of the whale, starts thanking God. That is why Paul, who's in prison, starts thanking and praising God. Because his circumstances did not deter him from having that. And okay, so you get that? Now, because gratitude is greater than our circumstances. 1 Thessalonians, here we go. 1 Thessalonians. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Always be joyful. Okay, so I am leaving Dover and I'm coming down Carlisle Avenue that has way too many lights, and this day I score all green lights. Yay! I am thankful, I am gracious, I am happy, okay? That's nice, but how about we have a gratitude in our heart when things aren't good in our life, all right? Praise God. Verse 17. I lost, here we go. Always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances. Okay, see that word in? In. It's not for. I am not thankful for heart disease. I am not thankful that my house blew up. I am not thankful that I have to put a transition. But in the circumstances, which is, okay, gratitude is greater. So you got to look at that word, okay? Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for all of those that belong to Christ Jesus. All right? So let's go back and read Philippians, and let's start thinking about the mindset about circumstances. Here we go. I am not saying, Paul, who's in prison. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances. Okay, I'm going to be grateful. Okay, regardless. And I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in everything, in every situation, whether I am fed, hungry, or living with plenty or want. I can do all things. All right. Gratitude, everybody, is not based on your circumstances. Amen? Amen. Okay, so those are three. I'm going to give you the last one. It's really my favorite, and you ought to write this one down. Ready? Gratitude invites the miraculous. What? Gratitude is actually, or thanksgiving is the breeding ground where God can do something great. Tell your neighbor, God can do something great. Right? Gratitude. Miraculous. God doing something great. So, open up to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Do you ever have a person that asks you a question and they already know the answer? I'm like, why are you wasting my time? Well, Jesus is going to ask a question, but he already knows the answer. And, you know, sometimes I think, I would love to have been a disciple of Jesus. You know, one of the 12. I'd be number 13 and a half or something like that. Okay? But then I would think that's so cool. But then, you know, this is Jesus who asks question and always knows the answer. So he's asked me a question and I'm going to go, yes, no, maybe, yes, yeah, yeah. I'd be like double-minded, okay? Because Jesus is asking questions all the time and he already knows the answer. Okay, and right here, he's going to ask Philip a question. Okay? He's going to ask Philip a question. He knows the answer. And he's not asking Philip because he needs some information. He's not asking him because he needs some help. He's asking him to teach. Everybody say teach. Teach. Us's. The disciples then and us's now. Okay? All right? So I want us to see how God does miraculous things, how he teaches us how to ask him for needs in our life. That's what we're going to get out of this, all right? So, John chapter 6, you all over there, verse 11, here we go. let's go verse 5. Let's do verse 5. As soon as Jesus saw the crowd, huge crowd of people coming to look at him, turning to Philip, he what? Asked him a question. Where can we buy bread? I would have said burgers. I'm going to find burgers. Okay, so I read this in burgers. Where can we buy burgers to feed all these people? And he was testing Philip because he already knew, right, what he was going to do. All right, jump down to verse 11. When Jesus looked, okay, so now he's found loaves. Somebody donated. There's a donation bag over there. Someone donated some bread and some fish, okay? He's got loaves. So he took the loaves, gave thanks to God, distributed to the people. Afterwards, he did the same with the fish, and they ate as much as they wanted, and they also had leftovers for the week. Okay. What's interesting is we're going to look at not what Jesus asked or did, but what he didn't do. We're going to look at what he didn't do, okay? Such as, Jesus already had what in his hands? Burgers. Bread, okay. He already had bread in his hands, okay? And he thanked God for them. Some of you, come on, grab it. All right. In other words, even before he got around to asking for what he needed in the future, right? God, it says there's 5,000 guys, and they probably eat two burgers, and they brought their wives, and, you know, good Catholics, they got six kids. That's a lot of burgers I need, right? I was, and there were six in our family, okay? Before he even did that, right? Listen to this. He thanked God for what he had already provided him. Everybody say, thank God. For what I have right now, the present, the now. He thanked God for what he had now. Alrighty? So, how about if that would change how we approach God? Ready? Now, on my day that I'm not doing too good, matter of fact, just think if we, let me back up. So how about if we changed and we just thanked him for the now? Thank you for that kid now, that spouse now, that job now, that car now. Just thank him for the now. How about we start having a habit? You get a habit going. I got a lot of bad habits. I'm working on them, but this is a good habit, all righty? So now, picture me or you or somebody else, and you're not having your best day, right? I'm not in the gratitude thing. I'm not even thankful, all right? And this is what my prayer would be, or our prayers would be, okay? God, bread, burgers, now. God, I need a bunch of burgers, now. God, when are you going to make some more burgers? Anybody ever pray those prayers? Okay, just me, all right? So I have to say this. This is a little fine print that I think. God cares about your needs and your problems. He does. You're his kid. Some of you, you care about your kids. He cares about them, okay? And that's why he says, you know, the prayer, give us this day our daily bread. He's interested in daily, okay? But there's something that goes, it just gets in my soul, in my spirit, when I start going, God, thank you for what I have now. It does, okay? So how about this? So then how about we say, God, you know I need a lot of bread. God, they all want double, okay? God, but I want to first thank you for what you've done in my life, what you've given in my life, what I have in my life. God, I want to thank you. And God, I know that you have been faithful, and I thank you that you will be faithful like you were before, and I thank you that you're going to be faithful at the end of this day, all right? I just thank you. I'm going to thank you right there, okay? Because main idea, thank you changes things. It does, all righty. So before Jesus asked for more bread, before he says, God, or we say, God, I need rent. God, I need a job. God, I need this kid. God, I need this to happen, okay? Jesus was modeling for us, a.k.a. he's the biggest example going, and that how about you just start going to him and say, God, I just want to thank you for what I have. I thank you. Everybody just go, Lord, I thank you. Thank you. Amen. So now I'm, okay, so end of sentence, period. And I don't have evidence of this, but I just kind of read between the line. I read my happy version of this, okay? Okay. But, you know, Jesus is God's son. Jesus is God. He always existed. He is God. And he's praying this, God, thank you for the present. But, you know, I know he's thanking him for what God's going to do. We sang three songs today. Maybe two and a half. That how about you start, see, have eyes that see. Start with thankful here and see what, and start thanking him for what he's going to do, okay? I have a hit list, you know? Thank you, God, for restoring my family. Thank you, God, for restoring my this. And okay, so I'm thanking you for now, the problem that sits next to me, right? No, I'm thanking you now, but I'm also going to thank him for what his word promises. Amen. So I want to challenge you as an individual. I want to challenge us as church. We are in day number 8 of a brand new year, right? And I know we're going to, I'm not making a bad confession. I know we're going to face some problems. Listen, I went to the grocery store. I was like, what? And then I got my electric bill? Huh? Okay, so, but whatever it is, how about we start thanking God for now, for the ahead, okay? It was just starting a thank you. Thank you club. You want to join my thank you club? Okay. Sign up in the back. Praise God. So I want to give us, Mike, come on up here. Okay. I want to give you an opportunity to get really quiet and look for a piece of paper, and I want you to write down a couple thank yous. What are you thankful for? What are you grateful for? All right? And now before we do that, I want to give you some thankful material. And I recognize there are people in our congregation, there are people that are watching online, that you're in the middle of something very difficult. Right? I understand that, okay? And you know, and then we have these people, you know, they just got the miracle. And I'm like, God, why isn't this happening? Why is theirs happening? And why am I in this valley of the shadow of death? Okay, have you ever had one of those where you go here? Well, there's something about in that moment, just being thankful. Not for, but in that, all right? So I'm going to give you some, and, you know, maybe some of you are like, Pastor D, I can't even think of one thing to be thankful for that I'm grateful for. Well, I'm going to give you some, all right? Just a few reminders, all right? And the person who wrote these reminders, let me tell you, he had bad day after bad day. He had a lot of bad days. His name was David. All right? And yet, he wrote psalms of thankfulness and praise. So I'm just going to rattle these off fast so, you know, they're not up there. Here we go. Psalm 139. Lord, you created me and formed me in my mother's womb. Therefore, I will thank you that I am wonderfully made. Ecclesiastes 11:8. Be grateful for every year you live. God, I am so glad I'm still on the planet. I'm standing today. Be thankful. All right? Thank you, God, because you saved me. And if you have nothing else to think of, that life, and I know there's some really difficult things in life, but we have this one thing, that God sent his son for you, right, to redeem you, to wash your sins away, to clothe you in righteousness, to give you now a forever relationship with the Lord Jesus. And you are called the redeemed, the child of God seated in heaven. I think we have something to say thank you about, all right? How about Psalm 54:6? Because God is good, everybody, all the time. Thank you, God. Thank you, and I will praise you that you answer my prayers. Psalm 16:7, I will praise you that you guide me. Psalm 118:1, thank you because you are kind and you always forgive me. Praise God. Thank you. Psalm 107, verse 8, because he never stops loving you. Praise God. So, how about every day you start a habit of being thankful, grateful. And guys, I don't know if any of y'all sit down together to have a meal, especially if you have kids to get today, but we used to do that. We worked really hard. Everybody go around the table and say something you're thankful for. You don't have to wait for Thanksgiving, right? I read this, somebody's Instagram post, this secular person read about being grateful every day. So she started every day writing on her phone something before she went to bed, what she was grateful for, thankful for. And then a horrific thing happened in her life. And without getting into details, and that night, her husband just got in his bed and just held her. Didn't say anything, just held her. And she wrote, I am so thankful for my husband. The problem that we, you know, okay? So let's get in a habit, praise the Lord, okay? So write down right now. Nobody's looking at your list. Write down some things you're grateful for. Thankful for. Please, you know, Father, I thank you that I am so grateful for YCF. I thank you how it has changed my life. I thank you for this church family that has seen me at my best and my lowest. I thank you that they're my friends and they have picked me up, sometimes told me where I needed to shape up. Father, I thank you for this church family. And I thank you for my Cashman family. I thank you so much. And I thank you, Father, that I have a roof over my head. And I thank you, Father, that I have more than enough to be a blessing. And I thank you that I have Jesus, who always loves me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just eyes closed a little bit. Just let the Holy Spirit. Some of you might have to go, God, I'm repentant. I have been not a thankful person. And yet now you've opened my eyes to just how I am loved and I am blessed. So I repent and I turn. Bubbles, turn from your wicked ways. I just repent and turn. And Lord, I pray that you would help, Holy Spirit, help us, remind us every day to be thankful for what we do have and also thankful what you've promised us. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. So I have one more thing. If you're here and you have never had, you're unable to say thank you for Jesus. You've not asked him to come into your life. What do I mean? That you prayed a prayer. You just said, Lord Jesus, I'm in need of you. The Bible says we're all sinners. I'm a sinner and I'm in need of you. And you receive Jesus. If you're here and you've never done that, today's a great day to be thankful, to invite him into your life. Woo! It is a great day. It's a great year to start. So if that's you, I just, again, what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? And I would like to give you an invitation to invite him into your life. So if you've never done that before, I would like to pray with you. All right? I'm going to pray with you, and you can have him come into your life. Oh, he does such great things, all right? And maybe you've done this, but you just kind of moved him down to the bottom of the parking lot. Just moved him out of your life. Well, today's a good day to say, Lord, I'm sorry I've just moved from you. By the way, he's always holding you, but we can walk away. Today's a good day to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent from moving you out of my life. Okay, and I just enter in back there. So everybody just bow your heads. Let's all say this together. And when you say this, you just mean it from your heart. It's not complicated, but just mean it from your heart. And say it so that you hear it, okay? Say, Father, I come to you knowing I need a Savior. I know that I am far from you. I'm a sinner, and I need you. I thank you for sending Jesus to take my sins, my penalty, on the cross for me. And this day, I ask Jesus to come into my life. Jesus, thank you for coming in. And I will live my life for you. And I thank you, I'm a child of God. And I am forever changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed this for the first time, Bible says heaven is just shouting and having a party. It says all of heaven celebrates if one person comes home. So I just want to say, let's hallelujah. Thank you. Woo, thank you, thank you. Your child that comes home. And if you prayed this as a rededicated, hey, just freeze for a second. Know that you are loved. You're sent, you're washed, you're forgiven. God just loves you like he loves Jesus. You got to just say, everybody, God loves me like he loves Jesus. That'll make you sit up in bed, right? All right. Hey, I love you all. Hallelujah. Develop thankfulness and gratefulness. Have a wonderful day. We love you. Praise God.